Oh, hey, Mike. Got here as soon as I could. What's going on, man?
Hey, I just wanted to give you an update on my marriage.
Is it good news?
Yeah. Our marriage is going great right now. I couldn't be happier.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah. It's like a solid 5 out of 10.
Having a marriage that's just okay isn't where couples really want to live. Give yourself and your spouse an all-inclusive weekend where you'll slow your pace and focus on each other. Get more details at focusonthefamily.com/getaway. That's focusonthefamily.com/getaway.
Thank you for downloading the Focus on the Family Marriage Podcast. You can find more relationship insights at focusonthefamily.com/marriage podcast.
Well, here at Focus on the Family, one of the top marriage struggles we hear about from couples is financial stuff. They are struggling. I'm John Fuller, along with Greg and Aaron Smalley, and in the counseling that you've done, both of you, you've often met couples, I'm sure, trying to work through financial difficulties.
Oh, for sure. I think a lot of times it boils down to things like, I'm secretly spending money. I don't want to tell my spouse because I feel controlled. I don't want to have to. I'm not a kid. My money. And so the bottom line, they're not talking about finances. And more importantly, they're not talking about the underlying issues that are driving whatever the disagreement is around finances.
Well, let's go ahead and hear now from Jeff and Shanti Feldhahn. They've been on the broadcast a number of times, and they've walked through a lot of struggles in their own relationship. And they talked with Jim Daly and me to tell part of their story.
Jeff and Shanti, welcome back to Focus on the Family.
It's great to be here.
It's always good to be here.
All right. You've done this extensive research project on this topic of money and marriage. I think it took you 3 years, something like
yes,
that.
It
that's
did.
A long time. You know, that's almost out of diapers, I would think. 3 years,
seriously.
Man. That's a lot of research. Yet, in doing it, you noticed you had some personal challenges. It's always funny when researchers notice that I got a problem in my own marriage here.
Oh,
so what happened? What was the light bulb? When did you go, uh-oh?
You know, we'd studied relationships and couples and ourselves.
All sorts of
for
things.
For decades now. But this was one area that we just weren't on the same page about. And, you know, when it came to how to handle money, quite frankly, Shanti and I just avoided it altogether.
We didn't fight about it.
No.
We just really avoided the topic. We kind of did one of those things that we have now found that is the majority of couples where you're technically together, but you sort of like, no, you do your thing over here and I'll do my thing over here. And we just don't talk about it.
Yeah. Well, for the benefit of the listener, the viewer, describe your money personality. Jeff, what were you? What are you?
Yeah, I'm kind of a black and white. At least I think of myself as that way. Shanti might think of myself as...
No, you are
as,
black
okay.
and white.
And I
validation.
I like the planning for the future. I love having a plan and executing toward it.
And saver.
And
because
saver.
Of that. Yeah, that
yeah.
would tend to follow.
Yeah.
I think I know where this is going, Shanti.
Yeah.
Don't like much of a plan. And a sale is a good thing. You can
a
buy more.
A sale is a great thing. Yes. No, it's really interesting because Jeff being the saver, me being more the spender. This is a classic dichotomy.
And she
we
wasn't
discovered.
A huge spender.
Yeah.
I mean, but she spent more than I did.
Well, the fact that you didn't talk about it suggests that yeah. it never became kind of catastrophic. Mm. It was just bubbling there.
Yeah. And that's the vast majority of couples come to find out is that we're not necessarily knocked down, drag out fighting. Now, there are a few who do, but most of us just aren't on the same page. We found 77% of couples just don't talk about it. Like they can't talk and communicate and without it getting awkward and difficult.
Yeah.
Only 23% can. And by the way, if I can just point out the 23% of you who are listening and you're like, what are you guys talking about?
Right,
like,
foreign language.
We think of you all as sort of mutants, you know? I don't understand you, but I do know that that cadre exists.
Well, one of the questions I had, what in the 23% did you see in the research if you went that deep? What were they doing that was so right?
Well, one of the things that, well, it is the thing that they were doing. It is for a subset of the population. They just kind of have no disagreements, which is unusual, or they're just okay with talking about money. It doesn't stir up a lot of emotions. It doesn't become awkward. It's just their personality. You just happen to have, for example, two planners who are married to each other.
Right.
And they're totally fine
so
with talking about it.
So I get you and you get me and everything's great.
And
well,
everything
in
cool.
that area, it's going to be good. But there'll probably be other areas that might
other areas
be things
that
to
might
work
cause
on.
Problems.
Right.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, one of the things that always got me as we were uncovering this research and the importance of being able to talk about it was, you know, that's easy to say, but what that really amounts to is that I have to actually understand what's going on inside of me so that I can actually talk about it, you know, wisely or carefully or helpfully with Shanti. And I didn't understand the way money hit me and made me feel differently from the way it made Shanti feel.
And that's really the bottom line that we found is at the core of the inability to communicate about money. It turns out it's not when you have intention, it's not about the money.
Right.
It's about how money makes you feel.
It's something underneath.
Yeah.
What are the risk factors if they don't start thinking differently about it? What are those? You know, if you're talking to a doctor, if you're eating ice cream, there's a risk factor here.
Yeah.
You're going to have heart disease most likely.
Yeah.
So in the money area, if for those 77%, if they don't start dealing with this, what are those risk factors?
Well, what ends up happening, we found, is that it ends up shaking people apart instead of bringing them together. Because around this topic of money, this is an example of one of those cases where you're going in one of those two directions. And it is a classic thing that we talk about, you talk about, that marriage is supposed to be one, you know, that we're supposed to have two people become one. And money is the one area for a lot of couples where that just doesn't apply. And people are resisting kind of being one in marriage and it's coming out in how they handle money. And so those choices to not talk about it are those choices to actually institutionalize this is you and me, it's not we. And when you switch that and go, wow, this is actually way more simple than I would have thought, to be able to understand what's going on underneath the surface, to be able to actually come together, suddenly money is no longer an opportunity for conflict. It's this fantastic opportunity for connection.
I love what Jeff and Shanti were saying about their own research and how it revealed areas they personally needed to work on. And Aaron, you and Greg are both so transparent. Have you, I don't remember if we've talked much about financial struggles. Surely you've been there, though. I think of seminary student and all the stuff going on there.
Absolutely, we have been there. Matter of fact, John, when we took our premarital assessment prior to getting married, it said we would struggle in two areas, and of course we thought it was hilarious, that we would struggle handling conflict was the first one. The second one was you'll struggle with finances. And we laughed. And
truly, then you combine the two of those into one.
Yes, and truly those two areas have been some of the biggest struggles we've had. And it's so interesting because really both Greg and I, as you know us, we're much more the feelers. We're much more the right-brained individuals. We write books. We counsel. We are not type A personalities. And so it's very difficult for us to be super detailed on finances. However, Greg has more of that than I do. And so often he does take on the budget and finances. And I know he says that he feels alone in that at times. And I want to join in. I want to help with that and take my piece of the pie to handle some of the finances. And it's very difficult for me. I will not lie that when we sit down to have a conversation about the budget, I would rather be plucking
watching
my toenails
PBS.
Off.
You'd rather be stung by bees.
I would rather be
killer
stung by
wasps.
Bees.
Wow. That's a pretty significant challenge there.
It is an area that we're not great at. I think we're smart enough now, 29 years into our marriage, to understand that when there are disagreements around finances, that it's a deeper issue. And so we're quick to go there. You know, it's not about, hey, why did you spend money? Why is there another Amazon package out on our porch? It's me recognizing that hey, that there's probably something going on there for me. And a lot of times I get very nervous when I feel like I sort of get the budget, but because Aaron doesn't necessarily really participate in
building
paying and
budget,
all that,
yeah.
That it's easy for me to go, hey, we can't go out to dinner, for the second time. We you know, that's just not in our budget. And so I find myself, I feel like a broken record at times. And yet it allows us to then sit down and go, okay, what's really going on, Greg, for you? And I just feel super insecure right now because I know the balance, mm-hmm. I we're okay, but we just have to be cautious. And Aaron's going, yeah, and that makes sense. And, you know, I know for me, I want to be able to enjoy, you know, all this hard work that we both put in to be able to spend some of that. And the more that I understand what's going on for her and vice versa, it always allows us to go, okay, so then how do we solve this in a way that feels good to both of us?
Well, being on the same page is so crucial. And if you and your spouse are struggling right now with money or anything, really, just know that we have a team of caring Christian counselors here. And we can schedule a free consultation with one of them to talk about this, to find out how you can get on the same page, to take some steps toward some healing and some health. And we can be reached by calling 800, the letter A and the word family. And we'll have a link in the notes as well. If you can, please donate to the Ministry of Focus on the Family. Help us make those counselors available and other resources we provide to couples, including the book by Jeff and Shanti, Thriving in Love and Marriage. Donate today and we'll send that book to you as our thank you for joining the support team and doing ministry through Focus on the Family. Again, our number, 800-A-FAMILY, and all the details are in the show notes. We'll have more from the Feldhahns next time. For now, on behalf of Greg, Aaron, and the entire team here, I'm John Fuller, and thanks for tuning in to the Focus on the Family Marriage Podcast.
When a woman discovers her husband's struggle with pornography, she needs a practical plan. The latest book from Focus on the Family, Aftershock, by professional counselor Joanne Condi, will help you through the 7 steps of self-care, and you'll learn how to deal with the emotions involved in the discovery of your husband's addiction. Let Joanne Condi's timeless wisdom give you hope even while you're in your own season of Aftershock. Learn more about Aftershock at focusonthefamily.com/store.